Welcome to Getting Real, our locally produced radio show that dives deep into thought-provoking topics, hosted by SJCC parishioners Al and Lynn Grassley, exploring how we best live out our faith in response to important issues and struggles of our day. So jump in and navigate the currents of conversation with Getting Real, where circumstance meets Catholic clarity. And now, your co-captains, show hosts Al and Lynn Grassley.
Thank you for joining us on Getting Real with the Grassleys,
where we talk about relevant issues and how to navigate them as Catholic Christians together.
Because let's face it, we're all going through stuff in our families and community, but there's no need to walk it alone.
Join us for honest conversations and a reminder that we're never alone on this journey together on
Getting Real.
Well, Linda, what on earth are we talking about on this show?
Well, I kept changing the topic.
Yes, you
did. We finally got it nailed down.
To what?
In the nick of time.
To what? I think we're going through like five or six different topics.
I know. Well, at least we have more ideas. But this one is marriage, the impact on faith and community. Because
luckily, well, hold on a second. Luckily, what? I'm an expert at this. I've been doing this for 30 years now, so I can't wait to talk about something that I kind of know
almost,
about.
Almost 30 years.
You're almost there. We're almost there. All right, so tell me why you picked this topic.
Well, just so there's been so much going on about marriage. We have that special certification for Care and Grow to be marriage mentors.
Right.
We're kicking off the additional help for Deacon Tom and Val for marriage prep. For new marriages, like pre-cana. Do they still call it that?
I don't know if they do or not, but anyway,
but that's, everybody knows that it's that,
right? Pretty exciting,
you know, it's
yes.
Like CCD.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So you're like, let's stick with something we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
In 30 years plus.
So, right.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think when people think of marriage, usually like they think of celebrity divorces, or I know somebody who got divorced, but there's a couple of, you know, recent examples of people sticking it together, I guess.
Right.
Or sticking together.
Sticking together.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, before that, though, there's just really sweet thing. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later in the episode, but there was a woman at church that came to me and asked me if I knew who this gentleman was across the church. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know that guy.
I know
yeah.
that guy.
Yeah.
Know his name. And I said, I'll email you, you know, who he is and all of that, because we didn't really have time to talk. But so she was trying to play matchmaker.
Oh.
Yeah. So I guess she went to talk to him first.
Really?
And then, yeah. So I don't know how it went, but I just thought, wow, it's like an old-fashioned thing to do, but
let's give it a shot. Yeah. I don't think the apps are working anymore.
Yes, exactly.
The apps were kind of cool back in the 80s. It's like, oh, look at this. You could now everybody's like, yeah.
Was that cool in the 80s? I don't remember. I never used it.
I have to ask Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his high school buddy. Anyway, so Josh Allen, one of our favorite people.
Yes, he said
quarterback of the Bills, in case somebody doesn't know.
Yes, he's still on the honeymoon phase, but he said his marriage is more important than football, which I'm really not. I don't think too many people in Buffalo are going to be happy about that, Linda.
Well, he said that a while ago, but I thought it was sweet, as much as I'd rather his head be in football, which
yes.
I think he did well this year, being injured and all.
Right.
But, yeah, he was married a year and a half, and
they got a kid now.
Now they have a baby.
Daughter, I think it is.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So. And then another high profile one was Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a big scandal. Something was going on there. Yeah. But, you know, they said they were going to separate. And then,
well, they announced their divorce.
Oh, did they?
And they had a little girl, I think 3 or 4 years old. And.
Yeah. And then they got together and they had a scheduled argument. We know a lot about those. But they're sticking together. I mean, it's
They made an announcement of it. I mean, he said over the past weeks, Erica and I have realized that our best future was a family together.
Wow.
And they resolved their differences and are starting anew. And he just won the green jacket thing again.
Oh, yes. The master.
The Masters.
The Masters, yeah.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. That was pretty cool. That was the second one in a row.
Right.
And his wife and kid were there.
Yeah.
So he must be true. It must not be just a press release. It must be true.
No, well, and they were there last year, too. I mean, that happened before the last year one.
Right.
But Tulsi Gabbard, too. I mean, she and her husband have been married 11 years. She was deployed to East Africa. She was in joint special operations mission. All these political campaigns that she had to do. And she was serving as the director of national intelligence, right?
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing woman. And she's so well spoken. But her husband's now fighting for his life with cancer.
Yeah.
And she said, he's been through all this stuff for me. I had to be there for him and has stepped down.
That's commitment.
A true commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good examples out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we're talking about marriage, Linda, I was just wondering, do you have any statistics on the argument we're going to be coming up with? The pros and cons of the marriage. Do you got some statistics on you?
I do have statistics. So over the last 50 years, marriage rates of people between 30 and 35 years old have declined from 90% in the 60s to 55%.
Wow.
Yeah. But of those successful marriages, the healthy marriages are at 74% of you. This is all U.S. statistics.
Yes.
Gallup poll had a 2023 survey, I guess. So 25 to 50-year-old married couples are 17% more likely to be thriving than non-married.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this, about the marriage bonus.
Yes.
Go ahead. But God wants us to be married. He'll bless your marriage one way or the other.
Yes, right.
Or if you're doing it right.
Right. And then even children that are raised in a single-parent home, they can benefit from a community where marriage is common.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up in a community where everybody was married. Everybody on the street was married.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like.
Yeah, maybe one or two kids in my graduating class were from.
Right.
Yeah.
Same here.
And it was quiet. You didn't talk about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And if you have an intact marriage family and your church going, you're more likely to pass the faith on.
That's a good thing.
It is.
So, because you want your kids to grow up in their faith. Let them rebel later on. But, you know, until they move out of the house, they got to stay in the faith.
Yeah. Stick it to them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So talking about divorce and crisis, Focus on the Family did a study on crisis. Those that have healthy marriages, 82% of convictional Christians have healthy marriages, whereas non-Christians have 70.
Right.
So that's 12-point difference.
12%.
Percent. And then there are fewer convictional Christians in marriage crisis. They're only at 13%, which still seems high to me.
It does.
But, yeah.
Does seem high. But like you're like maybe.
I don't know what the level of crisis is. So,
yeah.
And then non-Christian is 1/4.
There's 25%. Another 12%, Linda.
Yeah, there's 12 again.
12 again is the magic number.
Numbers. Yes. So top problems are finances, communication, busy schedules. Yeah.
We've been through all those problems.
Right.
And we're still together.
And we're still together.
After 30 years.
Yep. Yes, we are. So the Pew Research said 1 in 3 Americans experience divorce. And they're also saying that the divorce rate is down, but it's really because there's less marriages.
Less marriage.
Yeah. So you'll see articles and news say what's to blame, the economy. But the facts are that earnings have fluctuated up and down for 40 years, but marriage rates still are steadily declining.
Declining.
Yeah. And the census data shows that earnings are mostly flat for men in their 20s and 30s, so that doesn't really pan out. A Harvard economist said that married parents predict positive future economic mobility.
Yes.
And then society's expectations to have a large home and pay off school debt first is a a real indicator of why people aren't getting married.
Right. I think people are going into serious debt thinking I got to get this degree before I get married. Then it's like, I got to pay this debt off before I get married. And then half your life's gone.
Right. Well, and then you are used to living on your own.
Right.
And really don't need to be bothered with somebody else that you got to deal with, I guess. I don't know.
Is that what you...
But you know, you think about your company. They're always looking to encourage you to get another degree.
Ugh. I
so can't that you
stand
can
it.
Climb the ladder.
Yes.
And it's kind of ingrained in our culture.
It is.
So
I've learned enough. I don't want to learn anything else, Linda.
Well, you know your podcast that you love, that Family Man,
yes.
Todd Wilson.
Yes. I do enjoy that guy.
Yeah. So he was talking about, there was a gentleman that came to speak to him about a problem he had, which I think he had already decided the answer.
Yeah, about his wife wanted to quit. And he's like, I want to get a house.
Well, why did she want to quit, though?
Oh, to be home with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were living in an apartment. He's like, I want to get a house. I don't want to live in an apartment.
Right.
But.
And he was thinking that just wasn't what he envisioned. He thought that's the way it should be. But to honor his wife and their family.
I think he did it.
That's the way he decided to go. And it's hard when you see people around you having nicer things, more vacations and
yes.
all that. But you really got to do what's best for your marriage, for your family.
Right, right. He's a big proponent too on speaking to kids and going to debt. He like whatever the kid wants to do, whatever he's good at. Like
what their gift is.
What their gift mm-hmm. is, I should say, yes. Mm-hmm. It's like money doesn't kind of come into play. It's like if you can make a living with your gift, go for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because God will take care of you. All right, so look, that's the statistics, Linda.
Yeah. So what are the benefits of marriage, Al?
Happiness, Linda. That's what it is. 30 years of happiness.
Pure bliss.
Pure bliss, that's right. So we're going to rip through the benefits here. Support. Feeling supported and cared for, which I think we've done a pretty good job at that. Protection. I got your back, Linda.
Right. We stand up for each other and look after each other, especially, you know, if you have health issues or troubles at work. In our case, too, recently, parents being older and needing help, you having to share the load of the laundry.
Yes. The housework, sharing the load of the house. I'm not a big fan of that, sharing the load, Linda, but housework.
Well, what about like, you know, when the car breaks down, imagine if you're single with kids, like there's only one person that can take the time off
right.
for that kind of stuff, or letting somebody in, the bug guy in or whatever.
Yes, the bug guy. So I guess it's like you're a team.
You're a team.
And you have two people to try to cover the issues that are going on.
Right.
So
it's both like emotional support and physical support of getting logistics and things done.
Health is another good thing. I think studies have proved you live longer, but get specific. Your mental health is better because you have less stress. You have somebody to talk to about your stresses.
You hope you have less stress, but you should be able to go to your spouse and share your troubles. And there's a loneliness epidemic.
Probably
around the world, but I know absolutely in America. So having someone there to be your comforter, your cheerleader in your successes and help you and things that you're struggling with.
Right. Navigate and then tell you you're good job, Linda. You did a good job there. Another thing too is spirituality. You're like, we talk quite a bit about our faith, just normal conversations without getting Father John deep. About it.
Oh, yeah.
We try to talk about, you know, how does this apply to us in this situation? And it's good, you know, I think it enriches both of our faith.
100%.
And
the catechism says that. Help one another attain holiness in married life.
Oh, yeah. So that's why I married Linda, because I want the fast track right to heaven.
Well, honestly, I know my faith wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for marrying you. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I would say the same too, because we like, it's part of our daily routine.
Now it is.
It wasn't at some point, but.
Churchville, how many years ago was that? I remember you're like, this is going to be our New Year's resolution. We are not going to miss Mass.
Right.
And it's been.
That's stuck.
Over like at least 20 years.
Yeah. So anyway, so that you encourage each other to be more spiritual, which is good.
So financial.
There's the marriage dividend. That was the word I was looking
oh,
for.
Oh, dividend. Yes.
Because if you look at married couples, even if one's working or they're both working, chances are they have more money. You know, that's God's blessing your marriage, mm-hmm. really. So.
Well, it's not even just, you know, that you live with somebody to share expenses. There's tax benefits, insurance benefits,
yeah.
right? Retirement
yeah.
benefits, IRAs.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, community and society, I think what you were saying is we're entrenched in the community where we want to make sure that that's better. Like you want to improve stuff.
Right. If you're more stable financially, you can donate more. You can volunteer more. You know, maybe a single person wouldn't be able to go and talk to local government at, you know, these public comment things about school programs or recreation. You know, if we have a stronger marriage, we can help our community at large.
Right. Well, look, I think this is a great time for a station break, Linda, because there's so many facts and figures. We've got to tell people what they're listening to. You are listening to WSJF 92.7 Faith FM, Getting Real with the Grassleys.
Hi, Mark McGregor here. We hope you are enjoying the show. Al and Linda Grassley have put this show together, hoping to touch the spiritual lives of our listeners, taking a current topic about our faith or something in the news, exploring it, and asking the question, how do I respond to this as a Catholic? Please send feedback about the show, suggested topics, or comments on anything else you hear on WSJF to wsjf@stjoseph.cc. That email again is wsjf@stjoseph.cc. Let's continue getting real with Al and Lynn Grassley.
All right, Linda, so you ready?
All right. Long-term health of our society really depends on strong marriages.
I think, yes, that was what the country was founded on 250 years ago, was strong marriages, right?
Okay.
And so it's important that if you are married to model a good marriage and encourage your kids to get married, right?
Yes. Definitely. The culture is really pushing on this, you know, like we said earlier, focusing on education, your career, having a lot of money so that you can buy the big house, paying off your college debt. You know, they're looking to be more established instead of, I just think like we did get married late in life.
Well, yes, we did.
But both of our parents got married young. And
right.
Think of all the things that we learned individually, and then when we came together, had to alter.
Right.
You know what I mean? At least we did have more experience and we're more established, but we didn't learn a lot of those things in the early years together. I think that's a beautiful.
Yeah. If you get married young and you learn, you go through life and you learn stuff together.
Right.
We were kind of on two separate tracks and we came together, and then Al had to relearn everything all over again. Because
I had to learn some things too.
Linda didn't like the way I learned it. No, I'm just kidding. But we had some, I guess the point is the older you get, the more set in your ways you get, the harder it is to become one, as the Bible says.
Yes, right.
So, which is difficult. And I think you're right. Society's like, you don't need to get married. Go out and live your life first and then get married. But it's like, why don't you live your life with somebody who's got the same interests as you and, you know.
Yeah.
Get married.
And the culture is also making the norm is to live together.
Right.
Not before you get married, but just live together. It doesn't matter.
Cohabitate.
Yes, exactly.
That's the new word.
It's an alternative to marriage, but 34% of married couples who lived together before being engaged or getting married ended up in divorce.
Really?
Now, if you live together, but you were already engaged.
It's a little lower.
It's lower. Yeah.
Because you've already made the commitment.
You've made the commitment.
Right.
Yeah. Not that, you know, you're still not supposed to do it.
You're still not supposed to do it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
I hear
vocations, also, the church focuses so much on the crisis of
priests
and consecrated life. But the bigger crisis is marriage.
Yeah.
It really is.
There's not too many marriages here at St. Joe's.
Well, they're coming up.
Apparently they're coming up, but I mean.
And do you know 36 families between, I think, the first quarter of this year through March, 36 new families in our church.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. And they're all young. I mean, you see them, all these little kids, and it's so fun.
Yes.
So anyway, so what do we learn in all of that? If marriages provide support for each other in the family, support single parent families to improve our community, improve our physical, mental, spiritual health, give better financial standing, allow us to donate more, volunteer more, help create, you know, a more moral government, then what should we do?
I don't know. That's a long list, Linda. I mean, I'm a little, so like I said, the first time I've seen this script.
You're such a liar. So we talked about this in the beginning, how we've been working on these, the marriage mentor and the marriage prep things.
Right.
So as a community here at the parish, you know, those are some things that we can do in our church, and we as parishioners should be supporting each other in our marriages.
Yes. Well, that's what this show is all about. Hopefully.
Right. So there's really, I think in general, not a lot that is done to help young people form strong marriages. So we should be looking around our church for young families, young marriages, and how we can help. Hey, want us to watch the kids? You can go out on a date.
Oh, something like that.
Be a mentor. Geez, I see you're struggling here. Is, you know, anything you want to talk about?
Right.
We're happy to.
Right. I mean, we had a pretty good, we had a couple of families here. We moved down here and we didn't have any family here, and we met two other families.
And that were also not from
that
around
were all
here.
From, not from mm-hmm. around here. And, you know, I think once a month somebody would watch everybody's kids.
Yeah. And the other two couples would go out. And we just rotated it every month. It was awesome.
It was awesome. We got the reconnection going.
Right.
But we should do that within the church is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look around our church.
I know we should be doing that.
Yeah. So, and whether you're married or unmarried, whether you're divorced, you still can be helping other families
marriages.
And marriages.
Right.
Right. So the thing that, the reason we started this radio show was we had several couples in our lives that their marriages were, within 4 month span, were ending.
Yes.
We had no idea.
We were shocked.
It was scary. It was sad.
It was, yes. And so that kind of helped Linda and I focus on each other, our marriage a little bit more, because it was kind of like on autopilot.
Right.
You know, it was like, yeah, this is the way it is type of thing. And now it's, you know, now I would say that marriage is a priority in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And for sure.
It's been a priority for us to check in with others too. Like, hey, you know, how are things going? Don't be afraid to ask how your marriage is going. And, you know, share the information we've talked about today. And if you see articles or something in the news, that's a great opportunity to strike up conversation about marriage.
Hey, did you see this here? This article here? It says you should be very healthy. Yeah. I agree. That's a good way to do it. I mean, you know, I think the opportunities are hard to do that, though, because it's like, if young families with some kids, I mean, we usually see them at church and say, oh, it's so good to see you here, you know?
Right.
But we just kind of scratch the surface. How you doing?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But that's a hard one to do. I think you'd have to be. But there are ways to do it. We should really explore getting like a date night for the church or something like that.
So that is on my list.
Yep.
Because of this marriage mentor thing we're doing, if you're struggling and you need to talk to somebody, Al and I are seriously trained marriage mentors. And,
yes, we are.
You know, this isn't like crisis. This is just, you know, the normal struggles of marriage we can help you with. But another part of this is to have date nights, and that's something that we'd like to see happen at this church is, maybe you go out for dinner and then come to the church for a dessert, and there'll be some, you know, discussion, a topic that is common in the struggling marriages. So also you could listen to podcasts together or read books. So that's one thing when Al and I had a really low point in our marriage that we did. He would drive to work listening to a podcast, and I was homeschooling the kids. I'd listen to a podcast when they were on break, and then we would talk about it.
Right. We would talk about it after the kids went to bed, and how was your day, Linda?
Yeah. Most of the time it was family life and focus on the family. Those two have really good. And then this, the family man.
Family man.
It's meant for men, but ladies, it's really kind of interesting to listen to their perspective. I love it.
It's just bantering, kind of, which I like.
It is, but they always have some good nuggets of wisdom.
Nuggets, yeah.
But
I think if you got a young family, you got kids, focus on the family would be the go-to resource. They had, when we were having, I don't know, struggles, I guess you could say struggles, like that really helped us change things around.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's daily. Every day is a different podcast. So, you know.
You could do it daily, or, you know, they have a catalog
of it.
I guess you call it a catalog, but you could find a topic like, hey, we're struggling with this, and then listen to that.
Yeah, history. They got a history page on her.
So just a couple other things. Maybe we've done it once before, but we're doing, I think, our first study together on the Mass.
Yes.
And so we're really excited this summer to do that. Find a study, a Bible study or a faith-based study, and do that together. You can do ministry together. There's so many things you can do in the church. It's overwhelming, all the numbers of things. You could find something you're interested in and do that together.
Yeah. Did we go over praying together? Isn't that one of the...
That's on here, yeah.
But did we miss that in the statistics? We must have. All right, go ahead. Just go with what you are.
There was something about that.
Yeah, if they pray together, it's like... It bulletproofs your marriage.
This is the wrong script, because I also had another statistic about how many Catholics there are in the country. Well, anyway, neither here nor there.
So pray together. Pray together.
We got to get back in that habit.
Yes. We used to do it. Well, Linda used to get up in the morning. We used to pray, but...
What are you saying? As I'm retired, I don't always get up, Linda, in the morning.
So I usually
instead of getting up at 6:30, I get up at 7 after he leaves.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But praying together bulletproofs your marriage. And, it doesn't have to be formal. We kind of just hugged and talked about what our day was coming up and just said a prayer over it. It was like 30 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helps you. All right. Hopefully, I think Linda, did we cover all 10 pages of the script? For goodness sakes.
It's never that long.
So we just want to thank you for listening. Again, like Linda said, we are now trained mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be happy to help.
Yeah. We're doing marriage prep. We're very soon, pups, so we'll meet some young couples. That'll be fun.
We got a $25 gift card for the first couple that needs to be mentored here. Reach out to Linda, because she's the planner. She's the scheduler.
I
just show up. It's quite obvious here on this show.
Well, we hope this episode was helpful to you and your marriage.
Yes, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next month. On Married and Family Living on
Getting Real
with the Grassleys on WSJF 92.7 Faith FM. Oh my God.
Thanks for listening to Getting Real with our hosts, Al and Lynn Grassley. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to the Grassleys for their preparation, recording, and production of the show, along with Mark McGregor, who served as the recording engineer. Stay tuned to WSJF 92.7 FM, where we are always getting real.